You're listening to Seattle Real Estate Podcast.
People aren't fleeing Seattle. They're not leaving in droves. But they're not moving here all that much anymore either. They just aren't moving here anymore is the second part of the title. That's what we're going to talk about today. I had a ton of people ask me, hey, where are people moving to? Because we know they're all moving out of downtown Seattle, right? That's not necessarily true. We just don't have the huge in-migration numbers to our urban areas. We've got huge in-migration numbers to our suburban areas, because those don't have the same influences right now that downtown Seattle does. Doesn't have the homelessness just overrunning the streets, doesn't have the crime, doesn't have the drug addiction, the mental illness folks just running around willy-nilly. It doesn't have the lack of political leadership that Seattle does, and you know, from the mayor on down to the city council. Our other suburban cities here in the area, they're in much better shape. That's where people are going. All right, so let's jump on and let's talk about this, because a lot of people have hit me up. Hey, you're a real estate guy. Tell us what the real deal is. That's what I'm going to do. Before we jump on in, if you're new here, thanks for joining. Love to have you subscribe to the channel. My name is Sean Reynolds. I own a couple of real estate companies. But more importantly, I read news about Seattle and other topics that you want to hear about. Let's go. There's been a lot of talk lately about an exodus from American cities, including Seattle. But is it true? That's the story that people want to believe, that people are just leaving cities left and right. And then you see these news stories and articles saying, yeah, nobody's leaving. Where are they going to go? I mean, New York has said that. California has said that. Governor Newsom has said that. Where are you going to go? This is California. This is, you know, this is where dreams come true. But I think what's happening is people aren't necessarily going into those areas. And yeah, some people are leaving. A lot more people, I think, would leave if they could, but for whatever circumstances, reasons, like how about you can't sell a studio or a one-bedroom condo in these downtown urban areas. You can't sell. Those are not really marketable right now. Let's be honest. I'm a real estate guy. I own a real estate brokerage and I own an appraisal company. So those are the very things that we kind of work on is what are the hot trends? What are not the hot trends? Not hot trend is a small little studio or one bedroom condo in an area where all the cool stuff that you normally walk around to is no longer available, or businesses have been shut down, or there's a bunch of crime on your street. You've got the dodge the human fecal matter on the sidewalk game that you have to play getting to your place. Nobody wants to play that anymore. They're tired of playing dodge the human fecal matter game. They just are. And they're like, yeah, so people aren't moving in. They're not going in. They haven't really left in droves either, though. So let's keep going here. According to countless news stories, a lot of folks are kissing city life goodbye and moving to the open spaces of the suburbs. People like that narrative because that's what they want to believe. Is it true? To a certain little extent, but we're not talking people leaving the city of Seattle en masse. We're just not. Or even to they're moving to more rural parts of the country. Yeah, that's true, because they can, because they're no longer required to be in the downtown big office high-rises, right? The rise of remote work since the start of the pandemic is enabling these moves. Not for much longer. You're going to see stories come out, we need to return to the urban core. We need to get back to our values. In other words, we need to be able to control our employees a little bit better. Our synergy is lacking. We found that the synergy in our corporate structure is lacking. Get all the people back to work in the big tin cans downtown. You can find evidence that seems to back up this idea that people are leaving and going to the suburbs if you're looking for it. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that if you want to read the narrative that way, go on and be your happy self. Does it really matter? Because, you know, you go into a city and you're like, ah, people are leaving left and right. Are they really? Look around. Maybe they're not working in downtown anymore. Don't know. And that's going to have to sort itself out. Downtown Seattle is a kind of a ghost town right now. It really is, because there's just not enough people working there to have it be that active urban environment where you've got all the businesses supporting all the people walking around, working, doing their thing, living their lives. People aren't really living their lives there, right? It's a hunker down. The Rona's on every corner step. You might get it. Don't go outside. There are polls showing that urban dwellers are increasingly contemplating a change of scenery. What? They don't want to be in the downtown core? Shocking. Shocking. City folks are spending time more than ever drooling over online real estate listings in far-off locales. Yeah, I think we all do, because if you're in a city like Seattle and you are conservative at all, you're kind of thinking, where should I go? Where do I want to go? And I've had a lot of people hit me up. Hey, why do you keep, if you keep bitching about real estate or about stuff in Seattle, why don't you move? Well, because I'm in the suburbs. Got a pretty good thing going here with a couple of real estate companies. And if I move somewhere else, it wouldn't be the Seattle Real Estate Podcast, right? We couldn't keep meeting up like this. We just wouldn't. So I got to keep going. But if you want to question why I'm here, yeah, it's one of those things where we rip on Seattle a lot. I still like to go there because there's a lot of cool stuff in Seattle, just not in downtown, not in Capitol Hill, not really in South Lake Union. I mean, all these areas are just post-pandemic, they're pretty sketchy. So I will go there, but only to see the freak show that's, you know, that is those areas. So here in Seattle, rents have nosedived in dense urban areas after years of steady increases. And I've covered this a lot. What is going on is that the apartment market has been overbuilt. It's simply been overbuilt. Prior to the pandemic, massive demand. So supply ramped up, and that takes years and years to get that supply to the point where demand can take hold of it and actually move in, right? Because of the inelasticity of the supply and demand curve in real estate, because it takes so damn long, especially in a city like Seattle, to go from buying the dirt, getting your building permits, constructing your place, getting your final inspection, getting your certificate of occupancy, and then moving somebody in. That takes years. And so now we've got an overbuilt apartment market in our downtown areas. And that, on top of all this other stuff, like all the issues we always talk about in Seattle, that is hurting demand. And so rents, they are a going down. And I've got my youngest son, he's moving into a place, an apartment over in Seattle in Queen Anne, which is a good neighborhood. I still wouldn't want to live there. I wasn't really stoked to have him over there. I'd rather have him in a suburb, like anywhere. But I think there's still this notion when you are young, when you're a young millennial, you're getting out of the house, you're going doing your thing, you're moving in with whomever, that you want to live where the action is. And Seattle has always been where the action is. I don't really think so. But then again, when I was that age, I had kids and I wasn't really looking for the action. I was looking for a suburban location to raise my kids and hopefully have them, you know, be successful human beings. And that did happen. But you can't really tell somebody, hey, don't live in Seattle. It's not really where you want to be. Just give them a couple of years. They'll come back to the suburbs. But it's something of a red herring talking about the rents diving, something of a red herring, according to the new report that analyzes the most current migration data. People aren't fleeing cities, at least not yet. While there's been an uptick in the number of people leaving urban neighborhoods in Seattle and most other large metro areas, it isn't anywhere near what you describe as an exodus. That's the bottom line. Those are the numbers that I see. It's like not a mass exodus. You talk about a lot of people leaving LA. Okay, but the vast majority are there and they're going to stay there. They're going to bitch and complain, but they're going to stay there, right? You've got a few upper end folks that have the money to be able to go make a, you know, life-changing move. You got a Joe Rogan, you got a Ben Shapiro, guys that I talk about all the time. Let's go to Texas. I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of, you know, at some point in time, what about Florida? I mean, why wouldn't I want to go there? Such a cool place, but it's a long plane flight from Seattle. I got a lot of friends and family and life here. So I don't know. It's 7.5 hour flight nonstop from SeaTac to Miami. That's a long flight from here, from Seattle to Maui. It's only 5.5, 2 hours less. That makes a big difference. You know, you've got first world problems when you're analyzing where you might want to move to based on an airline flight that the difference is like a couple hours. I don't know. I like traveling, whatever. But don't breathe a sigh of relief yet, just yet. This doesn't mean Seattle is doing just fine. So you can kind of see where this article is going. Hey, people aren't leaving en masse. You want to think they are, that's fine. But a lot of this activity that we talk about is located in just the downtown urban areas. It's not in suburban Seattle. And guess what? People are still moving into Seattle and the suburbs, in droves. They are. That's why we've got zero supply and a housing market that is second only to Phoenix as far as appreciation. We had double-digit appreciation. We just did. I think it was it 14%, 13%? Incredible appreciation. That's across the board. We've got markets here in Seattle that appreciated 20% last year. Those are enormous numbers. Those are not sustainable. But that's what's going on because you got so many companies that are offering jobs here that are high-paying jobs. People are moving here. What's happened instead is that since the start of the pandemic, the flow of movers into Seattle urban neighborhoods has been reduced to a trickle. That makes sense. Why would people want to live in a small, why would they want to hunker down and sit out the coronavirus, do their working out, you know, teach their kids at home, work from home, all that stuff? Why would you want to do that in a small little apartment in downtown where you can't even walk to all the cool stuff because all this cool stuff has been closed down? The outflow from Seattle neighborhoods in 2020 was very similar to what it has been in 2017, 2018, and 2019, said Stephen Whitaker. He's policy economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland and author of the report. What dropped off was your inflow, your in-migration. There were fewer people moving into the Seattle urban neighborhoods in 2020 relative to the prior 3 years. That, to me, it makes absolute sense. And when things get squared away in downtown Seattle, and I say when, not if, it will. It'll happen. It just always takes a while. Could be years. But when that does, the bargains that I'm identifying now as condos in the downtown core, yeah, there's some pretty good stuff out there. Pick one of those up. You will do well long term. But most people are like, I would never buy in Seattle. It's a hellhole. Well, yeah, that's fine. But look at our appreciation. What was the appreciation in whatever town you're living in? Probably not as great as Seattle, because if you're living in Phoenix, do you have a higher appreciation? So you can say, Seattle sucks. It's terrible. All right. How much did your home go up in value last year? Because mine went up like a couple hundred grand. Seriously. So, I mean, what are we talking about? Sean, why do you live there? Well, pretty strong real estate market. It's kind of where what I know. It's what I do. It's what we're doing. In fact, among all the metro areas in the country, Seattle tied for the second biggest drop in people moving into its dense urban neighborhoods. Whitaker was able to do this analysis because he had access to data that the general public does not. And that data is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York / Equifax Consumer Credit Panel. This data, which includes address information, is updated monthly, and it makes it possible to track the movements of populations in near real time. Whitaker calculated an in-migration rate for all U.S. urban census tracts in the 2017 to 2019 period, and then compared that with the pandemic era, the period of March through September 2020. In nearly every urban area across the nation, an in-migration dropped a lot more than the out-migration. So not a ton of people doing the out-migration, not a ton of people leaving, but a lot of people, yeah. If we don't have to commute into downtown, which nobody is right now, that's very evident, that's very clear. If we don't have to commute into downtown, we're certainly not going to live there because downtown Seattle sucks. Downtown Portland sucks. Downtown New York City sucks. Downtown LA, no go. No go. Those are all no-goes, right? And it goes on for many, many other cities because they're downtown areas. They haven't been managed well. How about that? There's been a lacking of political leadership that has ended up in mismanagement. That's what we say when a landlord has done a really crappy job taking care of a building. For Seattle's dense urban areas, in-migration declined by a monthly rate of 49 movers per 100,000 residents in 2020 when compared to previous years. But out-migration barely changed, a monthly increase of just one person per 100,000 residents. So in-migration declined by 49 people out of 100,000 residents in 2020, and then out-migration, just one person. So if you're already in downtown Seattle, you've probably got a condo, you've probably got an apartment, whatever. Maybe you're just waiting out this ridiculousness that has been the COVID restrictions, and you're kind of hoping for things to go back because you really like the downtown core living. A lot of people out there like that. And that's why I think you're seeing such a small out-migration. But people, when they have the choice, they are no longer choosing, let's be downtown. Because for now, you don't have to commute there, right? You're not going to work there. Seattle's rate of decline, tied with San Francisco, is the second largest, although San Francisco experienced a much bigger increase in people leaving its urban areas, as did New York, right? The only place with a bigger drop in urban in-migration was San Jose, 70 fewer movers per 100,000 residents areas each month. Okay, so San Jose, yeah, big drop in in-migration, got less people coming in there. It hardly needs to be pointed out that Seattle, San Francisco, and San Jose have certain similarities. All three are tech hubs with very high costs of living. As we've seen, the tech workforce has transitioned to remote work with relative ease because it's basically, you know, you're booting up a laptop, and as long as you got a secure connection, you can get that squared away with your IT department, do some Zoom calls, do some whatever it is, you know, stuff online, you're good to go. Do it from home. Whitaker found the strongest correlation between the percentage of workers who can work remotely and the drop in in-migration. He also looked at rates of COVID-19 deaths, homicide rates, and the percentages of small businesses that remained open. So biggest correlation was between workers who can work remotely. That correlated with the drop in in-migration. It makes sense. If you're able to work remotely, commuting is no longer an issue. Why would you be in downtown? You wouldn't. Why would you move into the high-rent city neighborhood in the middle of a pandemic when nearly all the good things about urban living aren't available? And they're kind of getting back to more normal, but I think people for a while are going to be like, you know, that those shutdowns happened a couple of different times. They told us, you know, 15 days to flatten the curve, and that was over a year ago, and we've had two big shutdowns since then. I don't really want to risk a third one. I don't really want to live there. And if I don't need to live there, I'm not gonna. And that's the conversation I think people are having. It's more of a phenomenon for younger people, Whitaker said. And it's going back to my kids. Maybe they got their first job or they're taking a step up in their career. Maybe they just graduated from college and they are putting on their big boy pants and they are going to go live, you know, and start living their life. And they're like, I want to live in Seattle. I just want to live in Seattle. Okay, then you go do that. And then you experience that. A couple years later, you're like, I no longer want to live in Seattle. And that has been my experience with every millennial so far that has had the option to live in a suburban area. They're like, you know what? That's been fun, but I don't really want that as my lifestyle anymore. So maybe they got their first job or they're taking a step up in their career. And normally that would involve moving to a new metro area. But because no one's going into the office, there's no point in doing that. So they just stay where they are. Increasingly, the data also shows that the trend is primarily among renters. And that's what I'm saying about people who are in downtown and they're a homeowner. They are not giving up their units left and right because they're long-term for downtown, right? That's the pattern we're seeing. Plus, I think people recognize if you got a studio or a one bedroom, those are a no-go in this marketplace because people don't want them and you're going to have to sell them at such a discount. Might not be the best time to sell. So I think people are recognizing that as well. Home buyers have really not slowed down their inflow, Whitaker said. If you're thinking about your future in long enough terms to be thinking about buying a condo or a house, then you're looking past the pandemic. That is absolutely true. So you're looking past the pandemic and you're like, all right, post-pandemic, where do I want to be? If I do need to go back to the office in downtown, want to be in one of these suburban neighborhoods where I can still make that commute, it's not going to be horrible. It's not going to be great like living in downtown urban areas, but there's so much other stuff going on that's deterring people from wanting to live downtown. And I know there's a bunch of diehards out there who are like, all right, but this is where I live. This is my city. This is what I'm going to do. But a lot of them are also like, look at what's going on here. Just a bunch of drug activity and not a lot else. Because downtown Seattle is not really open. Not a lot of stuff going on other than some criming. And that's a tough thing to watch happen. And that may help explain why Seattle home prices are still escalating even as rents are dropping. So that's an enormous difference in our marketplace. You got the people buying homes. You got the people renting homes. People buying homes are out in droves, bidding up homes, escalation clauses, all that craziness that I talk about fairly often. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal market if you're a buyer. If you're a seller, you're off to the races. You're going to make more money than you would ever have made appreciation-wise on your home in the Seattle market since I've been in real estate, and that's well over 30 years. This is the hottest real estate market we've ever seen. A lot of it has to do with low interest rates. A lot of it has to do with no inventory that's been ongoing for a long time. And there's still a lot of companies that are actively getting their businesses set up here in Seattle because this is where the job pool is. Other areas, I mean, we're talking about San Jose. Yeah, same thing. San Francisco, same thing. You might say San Francisco and New York City are a couple of the big urban cities that are, you know, have the least desirable look to them. And yet you've still got a ton of companies that are employing people in those cities. So will this stuff go back to normal? Yeah, at some point it will. But the new norm, I think, is going to be a little different. And you're going to have to get some leadership to make some changes to make it viable for a lot of these companies to even want to be in downtown Seattle. Because we've got smaller companies leaving downtown Seattle in droves. And here with political leadership in Seattle, basically taxing big companies, they're also kind of going, you know what? Maybe downtown isn't the best option for us. Maybe we could go over here to Bellevue, set up shop there. It's nicer. It's cleaner. They've got sane leadership that doesn't really want the homelessness issue to run rampant through our parks. They've just got more reasonable people like you, the listeners and viewers of the Seattle Real Estate Podcast. All right, so wrapping up, while most metro areas saw a decline in movers into their urban neighborhoods, there were a handful of exceptions. Among them were both Spokane and Boise, Idaho. Boise, Idaho, a lot of people wanting to move to Idaho. More freedom. That's literally what they're doing. It's still pretty close to, you know, some major airports. You can still kind of get around and it's not that far and you can drive there from Seattle and it's not that far. But Boise, Idaho, man, that has had an influx of people. I should do a podcast on that, just the in-migration there. But a lot of that is it's politically driven because people feel like they are being oppressed in a city like Seattle here. And we're looking at options. Where do I go? Idaho is a big, big one. To me, maybe a little Florida action, a little hurricane action, maybe Texas. But after that whole power grid deal, I don't know. Plus Texas, their weather is just, it's difficult. It's either super blazing hot starting in the spring through the fall and then winter. I mean, you guys all saw what the weather has been like the last few weeks. Horrible, freezing cold. Those weather systems just come across the Great Plains and just roll on through a city like Dallas. Just crazy. I don't really want to deal with that either. I think I'd probably take a hurricane. I don't know. What would you guys want to do? Plus, I just like Florida. I think Florida's pretty cool. I like South Beach, Miami. Fun there. Okay, that's it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the Seattle Real Estate Podcast. Remain reasonable. That's kind of my new mantra. Keep staying reasonable. Because I know you're reasonable because you're watching this podcast. And that's a lot of what I talk about is what is a reasonable approach to this current issue of what we've got going on. And there's a lot of really unreasonable stuff in Seattle. That's why we always have a lot to talk about. All right. I'm going to go record another one. I hope you guys are having a great day. Stay reasonable. All right. Thanks for being here. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Don't forget to subscribe to our channel and hit the notification bell so you'll know when our next video is out.